Well, how many of y'all are glad you came to church this morning? Yes, absolutely. I want to give a little shout out, not a little shout out, a big shout out to God for the absolutely gorgeous day, gorgeous weekend we've had. He had his choice of rain, sun, snow, sleet. Hey, it's Kentucky, right? And he chose to give us this. And so I think God deserves a round of applause for that. Just awesome. And the big and the small things. For those of y'all that are visiting, my name is Dave. I'm one of the pastors here. And my wife and I were not here last week. We were in Bluffton, South Carolina, teaching our Intentional Spouse Conference that we developed. And amazing time with some great people down there. But we are so glad to be back here today worshiping with our church family. And today we're continuing in our Luke series. In Luke chapter 8, verse 16 through 18, I want to ask you to turn there in your YouVersion Bible app or your hard copy Bible, whatever you've got, make sure that you're there. And the main thing today is no matter how powerful the darkness is, light wins every time. All right, so Luke 8, 16 through 18, Jesus says this: "No one lights a lamp and hides it under a clay jar or puts it under a bed. Instead, they put it on a stand so that those who come in can see the light. For there's nothing hidden that will not be disclosed, and nothing concealed that will not be known or brought out in the open. Therefore, consider carefully how you listen. Whoever has will be given more. And whoever does not have, even what they have, they think they have, will be taken from them." I'm a World War II history buff. I love military history. One of the things that I studied was in Britain, before the United States entered the war, Britain was basically being bombed by the Third Reich, by the Luftwaffe, the German Air Force. And so they mandated blackout curtains on every window. You were not even allowed, this was the day before radar, if any little bit of light, there were German bombers flying all over Britain looking for a town. It was pitch dark. And if they even saw the slightest light from a window, they would hone in on that target from miles up. If you lit a cigarette, you were not allowed to light a cigarette in the darkness because that would give the German bombers a target and would hit the city. That is how powerful light is when it comes to defeating the darkness. And the truth is this. Here's the truth. You guys want to hear the truth? Here it is. All right. In John chapter 8, verse 12, when Jesus spoke again to the people, he said, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." Jesus says, "I am the light of the world. I defeat darkness 100% of the time. Darkness has never beat even so much as a lit cigarette the light." You can't be dark enough for a lit cigarette to be seen. And Jesus says, "I am the light that breaks through all the darkness." And right now, you guys, there's a powerful darkness that's over our country and over us, settled over our country. And I say darkness because it's affected us all, unless you have exactly what Jesus is referring to here, the light that he shines. Rachel and I said we're in South Carolina in Bluffton teaching there, and by the way, I want to thank Al Crowd for preaching last week and the worship team and everything you guys made it happen. It was fantastic. I thank you guys so much. But we taught on Saturday, the marriage conference, and Sunday I preached in a church there. And after preaching, I shared my testimony about losing my son, death of our son, and how God restores your joy if you don't quit, if you persevering through the grief and everything like that. I shared that testimony. And a couple came up to us afterwards and said, "Well, we wish that you were here this next Sunday because my brother and his wife are going to be here. And they lost their only son to COVID 4 years ago. And they have no idea what to do. They are stuck. They're angry. They're bitter." He said, "My brother's not saved. Don't know Jesus." And basically had no idea how to handle this. He had no hope whatsoever. He said, "I wish he could hear what you just said." His brother was in darkness. And when the grief hit, when life hit, he had no light to show him the way out. He had no way of handling when life hit him. He was groping around in the darkness because he did not have the light of Jesus. And he had no idea how to handle this at all. And if you're not following Jesus this morning, I pray everyone in here is, but I'm not foolish enough to think that everyone in here is following Jesus. If you aren't following Jesus, you're in darkness. And like a person walking around in darkness with no light, it's only a matter of time before you hit something or lose your way or quit Okay, if you don't have that, then and that's what's going on. I don't know if you guys have figured this out yet, those of you that are here regularly. I don't know if you guys have figured this out yet, but as we're going through our Luke series, the entire year is about the one law that no one can break. The law of sowing and reaping. You cannot reap something different than you sow. It's the one law no one has ever broken. Okay? The law of sowing and reaping is simple. What you plant, you harvest. What you sow, you reap. What you feed will grow. What you starve will die. For example, if you sow work ethic and integrity, you reap prosperity. You sow laziness and irresponsibility, you reap poverty. You cannot sow laziness and irresponsibility and reap prosperity. You can't do it. Just like you can't plant grass seed and expect apple trees. You can't do that. Plant grass seed, grass comes up. The same way, if you sow honesty, you reap trust. You sow dishonesty, you reap disaster. If you feed your kids tantrums by giving them what they want, the tantrums grow. I don't know if you've noticed that or not. If you feed your negativity and your negativity and gossip will grow to consume you. If you starve your irresponsible spending, your debt will go away. If you starve your prayer life and your study life, your faith will die. This is simply the law of sowing and reaping that we've been talking about all year long. And none of this is rocket science, you guys. Everybody, a first grader knows this. A first grader knows this. It's not a difficult concept, yet people are still astounded when they reap exactly what they've sown. And they've gotten exactly where they're going in life. They've been walking this path, and they're astounded that they reached the destination of that path. And they're just stupefied. And they said, "How did this happen? How did this happen? I yelled and called my spouse names every day and was abusive, and they left me. Who knew? I spent every penny I had and put everything on credit cards, and now I'm broke. Who knew? I let my kid have everything they wanted when they threw tantrums. Now my kid throws tantrums all the time. What is going on?" It's not rocket science. And the one that bothers me, we went to church twice a year. We even went on Easter. And never pray as a family, never study scripture. Now my kids don't believe in God. Reaping, planting, and harvesting, sowing, and reaping. And you have compassion on people who are reaping what they're sowing, especially if it's bad. You have compassion on that, but it can be devastating to people. But compassion isn't enough, you all, because no matter how devastated a person is, so many people continue to plant the very things that are destroying them. There's no change in behavior. And Jesus is talking about the law of sowing and reaping here. He said, "You follow me. You follow me. You will not be in darkness. You plant following me. You reap illumination. You reap the blessing. You will never be in darkness. You'll never wonder what to do in life. You'll never have life. It will work out. You'll know what's going on. You'll be able to respond. And when bad things happen, you'll have the hope of my gospel. You'll never be in darkness." And so, for example, if you raise your children to follow Christ, you teach them scripture, you pray as a family, you raise them to know Christ, they aren't in darkness. They can see. And so when a friend or a teacher, yes, sometimes teachers, unfortunately, we have to address that, come up to you then and say, "You know, I don't think you're really a boy. I think you can choose your own gender and pronouns and all." Your child can say, "No, in Genesis chapter 1 says God made them male and female. God made them, not me." What's your next question? See, I have the light. I've got the illumination. I'm not walking around in darkness. I'm not wondering who I am. I'm not wondering what gender I am. I'm not wondering. I know who I am because Christ has told me who I am. I have the light. I've sowed following Jesus. Now I'm reaping the light to see. And so many others are being led away and being just lied to and being deceived because they don't have the light of Christ. See, following Jesus, following the light, you realize there are only three rules of life. You follow these three rules, things will be pretty good for you in the long run. Not necessarily in the short run, but in the long run, three rules of life are this. Number one, you keep showing up. You keep showing up. Second, you keep doing what's right. And third, you watch what God does in response. Sowing and reaping. You sow, showing up. You sow, doing what's right. You reap what God does. What are the three rules? You keep showing up. You keep doing what is right, and you watch what God does in response. See, guys, you can't win in life if you don't show up. You can't win with your faith. You can't do it if you don't show up, if you quit. Scripture tells us to persevere in our faith, to not quit for a very, very good reason, that we're supposed to keep seeking Jesus 24/7. We keep showing up in our marriage, keep showing up for our kids. We keep showing up at work. We keep showing up at church. We keep showing up in our prayer life. We keep showing up in studying scripture. We keep persevering and we keep showing up. We don't quit. That's the first rule of life. The second rule, once you show up, you keep doing what is right. Even if you're not seeing results, sometimes you do things that are right because they're right, not because you're seeing the results immediately. Okay, I plant a grass seed and I'm not seeing any results. Well, give it some time. It'll come up. Give it time. In the same way, the right things that you're doing, they are growing. Believe me, they are growing. Even if you're not seeing the results yet, they are growing. And at harvest time, you will reap everything that you sowed, the good and bad. And the third thing is we watch God do amazing things with our faithfulness, with with what we've done. We watch God bless us with the harvest, whatever that looks like. And it seems so simple. 2 + 2 = 4. You know, but there's a problem, a big problem. Here's the problem. Y'all ready for the problem? All right, hear what it is. Problem, many of us would rather be in the dark. Many of us would rather be in the dark. It's unreal that we prefer the darkness. John 3:19 says this. This is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but people love darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. It's psychotic. If you're a parent, all right, you guys know what's watching a one-year-old or two-year-old play hide-and-seek. Okay, and they think they're hiding. You ever seen that? You know, they're sitting on the couch with a blanket over their head, and you can't see me. You know, it's like that's what you look like to God when you try to quote unquote hide. Okay, that's what you look like. People are engaged in evil or wrongness that hate the light. And that's why it's many times when people disappear from church. I'm just going to speak as a pastor. I've been pastoring this church for 16 years now. And there's a pattern. A lot of times somebody's really engaged in church. They're engaged in a small group. And then they kind of disappear. A lot of times, not every time, but a lot of times, it's because they're doing stuff they know they're not supposed to do. And they don't want to face the church. They don't want to face God. They think they can hide. So they disappear. They ghost you. Don't answer texts. Don't answer phone calls. Many times people have relapsed in addiction or something like that. They disappear instead of being here where they need to be. Or they're having marriage trouble and they feel like, quote unquote, hypocrites coming to worship God. It's like feeling like a hypocrite. I'm sick. I'm going to the hospital. I'm such a hypocrite. I should be well when I go to the hospital. No, you need to come in here and worship God to get your life back in order. Be your focus back on Jesus. Okay? That's why friends ghost you sometimes. They don't want to see you because they don't want you to see them. Hear that? They don't want to see you because they don't want you to see them because you're a reminder of what they're doing is wrong. That's why when we fall into temptation and sin, we don't pray. Isn't that psychotic? Who's the one person that can do something about our temptation and sin? God, right? And he's the one we avoid. We're psychotic, as if God hasn't seen it already. He already knows. He already knows what you looked at on that website that one you shouldn't have gone to. He already knows what you did, but by avoiding him in prayer or by staying home from church, you think you sit there in darkness away from him. And I see it so much. And please, I'm asking you, all the love I can muster, don't do that. It's not what you need to be doing. It's like watching these real-life TV shows where they show people shoplifting. You ever seen those? I love those closed-circuit videos where they show people shoplifting and they don't know they're being seen. And they're taking stuff because they think they're in darkness and we can literally see them. And all of a sudden they look at the camera and they're like, you know, then they freak out. They realize they've been seen. Like, we can see you all along. And that's what people living in quote-unquote darkness don't realize. God can see you all along. Okay? Yeah, that's us. So instead of following the three rules of life, a lot of times we do the opposite. Number one, we quit showing up. We quit showing up. We quit on ourselves. We quit on God. We quit on the church. We quit on our job, we quit on our friends, we quit on our family. We just quit. We don't keep showing up. We just remove ourselves. And that leads to the second one, that you do exactly as God says not to do. Because the second you're away from people that love you and care about you and want what is best for you, as soon as you remove yourself from those people, Satan rushes in and starts tempting you and leading you away from what you know you need to be doing, and the darkness multiplies. I've seen it happen so many times, you all. And the third is that we reap the consequences of that. Luke 8:17 says this, where there's nothing hidden that will not be disclosed and nothing concealed that will not be known or brought out in the open. Did you hear that? I'm gonna read that again. Because next time you're considering doing something you know you're not supposed to do, realize you're on closed circuit camera, right? For there's nothing hidden that will not be disclosed, nothing. And nothing concealed that will not be known or brought out into the open. Why? Because Jesus is the light. And light always beats darkness. Light shows everything. Okay? This past week, our ministry community, pastors, our world was just completely rocked by the news of Reggie Joyner, who's head of the Orange Conference. The Orange Conference, he was one of the people that started North Point Community Church with Andy Stanley, big, huge mega church. The Orange Conference, he's like the premier guy in family ministry. Written so many books on marriage, parenting, written so much. We've even used the Orange curriculum here at church because it's so good. And Reggie Joyner was the founder and CEO of all of that, and he resigned this week because of an inappropriate relationship with a lady there at work. Both married, both with children, both premier people in family ministry. And just seems like leader after leader after leader just is falling. And every person that you say, okay, well, that person is following Christ, seems like we just see them fall. And I guarantee you, if Reggie Joyner and the lady that he was committing adultery with knew the truth of this first, there's nothing hidden that won't be disclosed, they would have acted very differently. See, I found that there are four stages of temptation. This is how it works, guys. Four stages of temptation. And most of us are in at least one of these right now, okay? And those of you that are fishermen, that are anglers, this is straight out of fishing. A good fisherman will know exactly how Satan works when he tempts. The first thing is that Satan presents the lure. Good fisherman presents the lure. I have no idea why a worm is a good, you know, good bait. That would not appeal to me at all right? But somehow, fish really like this. So there's this worm, this nice little dangly worm. Okay? He presents the lure. And then the second thing is that the fish takes the bait. Okay? He doesn't see the hook, he just sees the worm. Now, a bad fisherman will immediately try to, as soon as they feel the tug, will reel it in. See, that was my mistake. I'm a bad fisherman. I'm terrible at fishing, okay? And so as soon as I felt a little tug, man, I tried, and I would never land the fish. A good fisherman will do this. The stage three is the most dangerous, the most deceptive stage of temptation. Number three is that he plays the line. He allows the fish to think he got away with the worm, with the bait, okay? Takes the bait, and he is swimming along. Nothing has happened. It's a long time. The whole time, the fisherman knows something the fish doesn't, and that is the hook is being set. And once the hook is set and the fish cannot get out of it, that's when Satan reels them in. That's why many times the first sin that you commit doesn't cost you anything. You get away with it. Because Satan isn't stupid. He is playing the line. Because if the first time you commit a sin or do something, you don't get caught, well, it's because he's setting the hook. And when you are too far in, then he reels you in. The first time that Reggie Joyner and the lady committed adultery, they probably didn't get caught. So they're like, hey, we got away with it. Let's meet again. Let's meet again. Let's meet again. The whole time Satan was setting the hook. And then when they were too far in, boom, reels them in, and it is front page news all over the world. And in one instant, he thinks he's gotten away with it, and the next instant, he's lost his job, he's lost his marriage, he's lost his children, he's lost his reputation, he's lost everything because of one thing. He didn't pay attention to the fact that there's nothing that is hidden that won't be disclosed. Many years ago, there's a show called To Catch a Predator. Anybody remember that show? Okay. Chris Hansen. So he set up this online sting where he had people that were adults, like professional, FBI and sheriff's deputies, pretending to be children online. And they would go to these chat rooms and everything that were popular back then, and they would pretend to be children. And one by one, these sexual predators would contact them. And so the Chris Hansen would say, okay, tell them to meet you at this house. This house was a trap. It was set up with cameras, and sheriff deputies were there, and FBI were there. It was like this trap. And says, hey, meet me at this point. And the one by one, these people would show up. These predators would show up, and you'd see them walking up to the house. And then they knock on the door, and they had a kid, and they're shouting, just come on in, I'll be out in a second, you know. And the guy walks in, and now he's on camera, like five cameras. And all of a sudden, the predator is sitting there in the kitchen waiting for the kid to come out. And out walks Chris Hansen and five cameras. And the look of abject terror on these people's faces is something I'll never forget, because They presented the lure. The fish took the bait. They didn't bust them when they're out on the street. They waited for them to come in, and they waited for them to wait in the kitchen while they were setting the hook. And then when they were so far in, they couldn't get out, they sprung the trap. That's how temptation works, you all. I will never forget the one that sticks out in my mind the most. The very well-dressed, well-groomed, well-spoken man, probably in his 40s, walked in, and you could tell that he was nervous because he smiled so much. He had a fake smile, and you could tell he was sweating. He knew what he was doing was wrong. And when Chris Hansen walked out, he flipped out. Remember, there were like five cameras. He tried to cover the cameras. He's like, no, no. Turns out it was a rabbi who was involved in lots of children's ministry, a big pillar in the community. And in one instant, because he didn't remember that there's nothing hidden that will not be disclosed, he forgot that verse, and he lost his family, lost his freedom. He went to jail. He lost his reputation, lost his ministry, lost everything in an instant. So remember, you can't get away with anything. If you are actively sinning right now, and you thought you've gotten away with it, you're in stage three right now. Satan is setting the hook. And as soon as you are so far in, you can't get out, he is going to spring the trap, and your life is going to be forever changed. It could be devastating. Remember, you can lose everything you've worked for in one instant. In one instant. And that's why it's so very important to understand what Jesus is saying here, that we continue the three rules. We keep showing up. We keep doing what's right, and we watch what God does in response. Because remember, it works the other way too. Nothing hidden that won't be revealed. All the good things you've done that never made the front page news will be revealed. All the times you've given in secret and you haven't told anyone, if every person you've helped out, every person that you've anonymously paid a bill for, or a person that doesn't know, that will be revealed too. All of the times that you've prayed for people and they didn't know it, and you've kept it to yourself, you prayed for people and God has blessed them, that will be revealed too. Your prayers, like I said, pray for people, your patience and your forgiveness, and the people you've helped that didn't make the front page, all these things, that will all be revealed too. Sowing and reaping. Depending on what you've sown, it could be a very good harvest. So keep showing up, keep doing what is right, and watch what God does
in response. Those are the three rules of life. That's what Jesus is talking about here, because he's the light. Everything is seen. And I wonder if any of us are still foolish enough when we walk out of here to think that we can get away with sin. We can't. We can't. How many people does it take? How many examples of people falling? How many Reggie Joiners do we have before we realize that it is not, you're not getting away with anything? Okay? So here's what we have for the church. Matthew 5:14 says this: "You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand and gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven." Because of the darkness in our society, because of the darkness in our community, because of the darkness in our nation. I don't know if y'all noticed or not, this is an election year, and every election year people go crazy. Have y'all noticed that? Okay, it's getting. We need to get a pool. What's going to happen in 2028? Anybody? You know, we need, because something's going to happen in 2028. There's going to be some major cause that's going to cause people to lose their minds. So maybe we'll have a pool going. But if you haven't noticed that, well, what an opportunity for the church, for Christians, to be level-headed, to be patient, to be kind, to be forgiving, in this where everybody has a cause, everybody has an opinion, everybody has whatever. How about we say, you know, hey, we're going to point you to Jesus because he's the light. You mean you're not worried about who's in the White House? No, not really. I'm far more concerned with who's in my house, the leadership in my house, than I am in the White House. I'm far more concerned with how many people I'm bringing to Christ, how many people I'm forgiving. I'm far more interested in exhibiting through the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. I'm far more interested in that. I'm far more interested in my family, raising my children to know the Lord. I'm far more interested in getting it done in my own house, my marriage, making sure that I'm loving my wife as Christ loved the church, making sure that my children are set up for success by building them character and integrity and work ethic and faith and these kind of things. See, I got my hands full, guys. I don't have time to worry about what's going on campus protests. They don't even know what's going on. They really don't. They have no idea that not one of those people on the campus protest knows any person in Palestine. They don't know anything, okay? They're just out there because that's what all the cool kids are doing. You heard it from here. You heard it from me first. They have no idea what they're doing. They're just swept up and making themselves look good. That's all they're doing, okay? And if we as a church kept a steady hand, we don't fall for the trap. We don't fall for the nonsense. We don't get sucked into all this, and we get it done in our own homes. We get it done in our church. We get it done in our lives. We're going to shine brighter than any political ad or any political happening that you could ever see, okay? I'm not saying don't vote. Go vote. Vote for whoever you think is best, who will uphold what Christ wants for our country. Go do that. That's the only instruction you'll get from me. But I'm saying it's far more important what happens in your house than what happens in the White House. It's far more important what happens in this house than what happens in the White House, okay? And so as a church, we have an amazing opportunity, a world going crazy, shrouded in darkness, being the light. What if we were the place where, man, the people at Catalyst, what is wrong with them? They seem completely unfazed. Hear all this bad news and everything, they seem completely unfazed. They're joyful. I mean, don't you understand the economy's saying, and they're still joyful. Well, don't you understand that inflation's happening? Well, they're still joyful. It doesn't seem like it bothers them at all because they know Christ, and Christ is illuminating their lives, and they're not walking around in darkness. What an amazing light the church can be right now. What an amazing opportunity the church has right now. And as the world gets crazier and crazier and darker, the light of Christ will shine even brighter. You know where I learned that? I learned that doing prison ministry. If you were to take a flashlight and shine it outside right now, no one would even notice it, would they? You shine a flashlight at noon? Nah, no one notices it. But if you were to come back here at midnight and shine a flashlight, it could be seen for miles. See, the greater the darkness, the brighter the light. I learned this doing prison ministry. There's probably no darker place in this county than Jessamine County Detention Center. It is hopeless. It is despairing. There's a lot of bitterness, a lot of anger, a lot of hopelessness there. And I realized that even by showing up, by walking in there to teach my fatherhood class, it was like, man, it was like moths to a light, because it's so dark that anything would draw people, anything would attract people, anything, any positivity, any hope at all was like an atom bomb dropped on the place. In the 36 different sessions, 12-week sessions I taught, we may have had one person miss a session. We had near 100% attendance at our, not because we had a captive audience, which we did, but they wouldn't miss it to save their lives. It was the only positive thing they had all week long. And I wish I could say the same thing about church. I wish I could say, but guys, we don't have the same type of darkness in our lives. We don't realize the need for the light. We're shining a flashlight around in the light. See, when things are good in your life, when the job is good, the kids are healthy, the marriage is doing well, the economy's doing well, you're paying your bills, everything like this, you tend to forget God. You tend to forget the light when things are good. I have no idea why God ever blesses anybody. I really don't. He must love us something fierce to bless us, because every time he blesses us, we forget him. Things get great, we forget God. It's like a cycle in history. Things get great, we forget God. We reap what we sow. We reap devastation, disaster. We repent, return to God. God blesses us, we forget him. We experience the consequences of our actions. We repent, God blesses us, we forget him. I mean, it's like this. It's like this cycle going on. You've heard that hard times create strong men. Strong men create good times. Good times create weak men. Weak men create hard times. Hard times create good. It's the same thing, okay? I have no idea why God ever blesses us. Because every time we do, every time he does, we forget him. And so the challenge for the church right now in this wealthiest country that's ever happened, you understand that if you make $30,000 a year, you're in the richest 1% of people who've ever lived on this planet. You know that, right? You know that, right? Okay. I'm not telling you something you don't know. Okay. Bible would refer to you as wealthy. Bible would refer to you as prosperous if you're making $30,000 a year. And so as we continue to shine this light, make sure that we are not the people that take that light for granted. We have an opportunity as the church to be the light in this very, very, very dark world. A smile, a prayer, winning someone to Christ, joyful, everything will shine for miles because people have no idea what that's like. We, the church, must be that light for people living in darkness. That's why Jesus came to us. So my question today is, if you are walking around in darkness, you've never accepted Christ, you've never become a follower of Jesus Christ, you've never done that, it's only a matter of time before you hit something. You're walking dark, you're going to fall off a cliff, you're going to, when that happens, you're not going to have any way of maintaining hope or positivity or anything like that. So I'm going to ask you today to become a follower of Jesus Christ. I'm a follower of Christ. Best decision I ever made. Absolutely best decision I ever made. Better than any other decision I've ever made in my life. I've made a lot of decisions in my life, and I've regretted some of them, regretted a lot of them. I never once regretted surrendering my life to Christ. Never once. There's a very popular comedian, commentator named Russell Brand, who's getting baptized. I believe he's getting baptized right now. If you've ever heard of Russell Brand, he has had a faith journey. He gave his life to Christ today, and we celebrate that. No more important than anyone else getting baptized today, but that was a fantastic thing. He has converted from his atheism to Christianity because he said this is the chance to actually live in hope. An amazing article about it. So he's being baptized today, and I give the person that led him to Christ, that person, I'm thankful for them today. And so join Russell Brand. Join us. Join the people that have followed, that have claimed Christ, that have accepted Christ. We would love to baptize you. We got a baptistry right there. Come talk to me. Come see me. And I'd love to see you stop walking around in darkness, because there's only a matter of time before it all hits, if it's not hitting already. And for those of you that are in the light, let's let our light shine brighter, okay? Let's not live these compromised, lukewarm, darkness-filled lives. Let's shine bright and attract the people that are living in darkness. Remember, people, light wins every time. God bless you. We'll see you next Sunday. Bye-bye.